it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. And don't listen to Dan Michaels. He doesn't know the new phone number. The new phone number here is 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. And that phone line is open right now. Topics are open right now. You can ask me questions on cannabis science, culture, history, health, the different propositions, the ballot initiatives, politics, stoners against legalization, medical marijuana, industrial hemp, whatever you want to know, just give us a call, 650-LEGAL-MJ. And that's open 24 hours a day. You can leave voice messages there as well if you're interested. We take messages all the time, and from time to time, we will play them back here on the show. So give us a call, and we will put you on the air. Now, coming up in this hour, we're going to, in the next segment, talk about Clinton. Not Hillary, not Bill. We're going to talk about Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of the former president and secretary of state, who, unlike most young women her age, doesn't seem to have much marijuana experience, doesn't seem to know very much about it. Unlike Malia Obama, who seems to be puffing tough, Chelsea seems to be suffering a little bit of reefer madness. So in the next segment, we will discuss that a little bit. Coming up after the safety briefing, we're going to take a deeper look here at the state of Oregon, where an October 1st deadline is looming that could throw a monkey wrench into our fledgling marijuana system here. And a lot of people are very concerned. So we'll give you the latest updates on that from the Oregonian and other sources. And as far as the election goes, oh my goodness, I had so much fun watching the debate last night. It was just enjoyable as hell. And a lot of people are remarking about Donald Trump and his case of the sniffles. There's a hashtag out even, hashtag Trump sniffles. He was sniffing numerous times throughout the debate, and it led Governor Howard Dean to tweet that Trump was sniffling a lot. Is he a coke user? Is he on cocaine? Now, other people made this quip too, and it was, you know, Stephen Colbert on his live show right after the debate made the joke, made the cocaine joke, and people on Twitter were saying it, right? But Governor Dean, you're supposed to have some, you know, gravitas. You're supposed to be a serious spokesman, a serious statesman, and that's an inappropriate sort of dig, okay? Remember when in 2008, the Hillary Clinton campaign was trying to make hay out of Barack Obama's past cocaine and marijuana use, and we called her out over that, and she was forced to apologize? Well, the same goes for Donald Trump, and God, I hate being in the position of having to defend Donald Trump. But whether or not he is a cocaine user is the least disqualifying aspect of the man I could possibly think of. In fact, If he is a cocaine user, and I'm not saying that he is, but if he's a cocaine user, I hate him 0.003% less. Because at least I know we got something we could talk about. And with cocaine, talk and talk and talk and talk about. I don't think he's on cocaine. He's not that cool. But folks, a person's drug use is their private personal business. It has no bearing on what kind of person they are, their ethics, their integrity, their character. I'd take Tony Montana as president of the United States over Donald Trump. We're back with some Chelsea Clinton education when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Obama, for instance, no matter what he said, there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be against him for saying whatever it is. Santa Claus is a nice guy. Someone says, Santa Claus must be a thief if Obama likes him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a racist attitude.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Beautiful day here in Potland, Oregon. As we close out the month of September, I can't believe we are almost at October already. Coming this Saturday. My goodness. And, of course, today would be, 6 weeks out. 6 weeks from today, 42 days away, we'll be casting our ballots in the most important election in the history of marijuana law reform. And you can listen to all the results as they come in live on our Marijuana Election Night 2016 coverage here live on CannabisRadio.com. Hashtag will be MJ Election Night. And like I said, 6 hours from an hour before the first polls close on the East Coast, and then hour by hour, time zone by time zone, as the polls close across the nation, we will bring you all the results, all the way through California and we'll stay an hour after the polls close in California to give you all the fallout from the various votes. Things are looking really good for marijuana election night. I really only see one state for sure where I think we're going to have some problems, and that is the state of Arkansas. Now, we reported on how Arkansas has two medical marijuana initiatives on the ballot. And I thought about this last night, and it kind of reminds me of how I learned to split pairs playing blackjack in Las Vegas. Ah, stay with me now. It's like, what? Blackjack? Well, according to the rules of blackjack, this was back when I was in, it had to have been the 90s. So I'm much younger, and I'm just getting interested in blackjack. And I knew the basics, you know, you got to get 21, and the dealer has to, you know, take a card up to 17, and all, you know, the basics of playing blackjack. But I'd never understood this whole splitting hands thing. So I took a brief look at one of those cards they have in Vegas, and it explained it. It says, if you got two cards that are the same rank, you know, like if you get two eights, let's say, you can split that pair. And that just means you take the two cards and split them apart, and they become two separate one-card hands that each get another card. And you play them like two separate hands, and you have two separate bets and so forth. And, of course, you get twice the chance to win. So I'm sitting at this table, and it's way late. It's way early. It's like 3 a.m. And there's only one other guy at the table, this old man, small old man, really had one of them curved backs like he's been sitting over a slot machine or a blackjack table all his life. And the hands are being dealt. And finally, I'm dealt two fives. And this was the first pair that I'd been dealt since I'd learned about splitting. So I was pretty eager to give it a shot. So I took the two fives and I split them apart. And I'm reaching over to get the extra chips for the other bet when that little old man at the end of the table suddenly said, "What the hell are you doing splitting fives?" And I kind of, I just froze, right? I'm like, well, I'm freaking out because I'm thinking I'm doing it wrong, right? I'm like, isn't this how you do it? I mean, you put one card here and one card there and you put the bet on both of them. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's how you do it, sure, but why are you doing it? Think about it. You got two fives. That's a 10. That's a winner. See, the odds are the next card you're going to get is going to be 7 or greater. There's all those face cards in there that are worth 10. So you got a really good chance of getting a hand that's 17 to 21. That's a winning hand to stand on. But if you split those two fives up, you got two hands that are 5, and then the next card's likely to be 7 or higher. So you're going to have two hands, two shitty hands with 12 to 16 on them to draw to. And of course, drawing to those, the next likely card is 7 or higher, and you get one of those and then you lose twice. So I'm kind of embarrassed, right? I'm pulling the other 5 back, and he continues saying, look, always split 8s and aces. That way you're turning one losing hand, either a 16 or a 12, into two winning hands, 18s and 21s, assuming you get the face card, the 10, right? But splitting fives is just turning one likely winner into two sure losers. And that's where Arkansas comes in. Arkansas succeeded in getting medical marijuana on their ballot in 2012, and it just narrowly failed. You got a 49% support, 51% opposition. Just about half and half, just about 50-50, or just like a couple of fives. A winner, just waiting for the next face card or the next election to be dealt. But since 2012, the two leaders, or two of the leaders who were behind that narrow loss in 2012, they parted ways. One, the fellow named David Couch, pursued a strict medical marijuana model that has no home cannabis cultivation by patients, no caregivers kind of thing, and a very limited set of the qualifying conditions. His partner, Melissa Fultz, on the other hand, pursued a model that has some home grow. If you're a patient 20 miles or more away from a dispensary and you can show a hardship, and it has more than twice of number of qualifying conditions. So both of these people, Couch and Fultz, proceeded gathering signatures on two separate medical marijuana initiatives. Now, Arkansas is not the first state where disagreements among activists have led to separate initiative campaigns. But usually the case is where one initiative is well-funded and professionally staffed, and the other one isn't. It's all volunteer and it's grassroots and it just fades away. Now, there was an exception this year in Maine. We had two well-funded and professionally staffed initiatives for legalization going on in Maine, and they were both headed to the ballot. But then the two campaigns came together, realizing it would be a bad idea to split the fives, and they found a way to compromise and just put forth one initiative. But Arkansas this year, Arkansas is the first state I've ever covered that has split the fives. Fultz and her Arkansas Medical Cannabis Act, that's the one with the home grow, the one the patients like, that one made the ballot first. But Couch wouldn't stop campaigning for his Arkansas Medical Marijuana Amendment, which is more business friendly. It's the dispensary only constitutional amendment. So as Couch's initiative was just about to make the ballot, the little old man at the blackjack table explaining the self-destructive act of splitting the fives was Marijuana Policy Project head Rob Campia. So Campia gets in touch with Couch to explain, look, two initiatives just makes winning harder or impossible since the two campaigns are going to be splitting their volunteers, their donations, their resources. They're going to confuse the voters and they're going to dilute their base support. And to sweeten the pot, Campia explained how donors, big money donors, were all ready to throw $1 million at legalizing medical marijuana in Arkansas, but only if the initiative that was already on the ballot was the only one moving forward. That is, if Couch would drop his amendment after the act already made the ballot, the act would have gotten $1 million to move forward to help campaign to get medical marijuana to the patients that they could home grow, and Couch rejected the deal. Couch argued that his amendment is more acceptable to conservative Arkansans. And if he didn't move forward with his, there'd only be the more liberal act on the ballot, and it would fail, and patients wouldn't get anything. So MPP then, of course, rescinded the $1 million offer. Couch's no-grow amendment makes the ballot as issue 6. Fultz's Limited Grow Act is issue 7. And neither of them have anything close to $1 million on hand to advertise their campaigns. Now this week, the first Arkansas poll on the two ballot issues has been released. On issue 6, 49% favor, 43% opposed. On issue 7, 53% oppose, 39% in favor. So the more conservative 6, Couch's amendment, is doing 10 points better than number 7. And that would seem to validate Couch's reading of the electorate being more conservative. And the data also confirm Rob Campia's warnings about the vote splitting. The poll found that 25% of the people who support 6 are voting no on 7. But only 8% of the people voting yes on 7 are voting no on 6. Now, at this point, neither of those two initiatives are breaking 50% support. But if everybody who supported one of them also supported the other, if 100% of medical marijuana supporters voted for both of them have slim majority support. But that's not going to happen. Because if you're a 7 supporter and you've just realized that you're losing because 3 times as many of your people support the opponent than they support you, you might figure you need to make up that deficit by only supporting 7 and not supporting 6. So more votes disappear from 6, the one that is got a chance to pass at this point, because the people who support medical end up choosing either 6 or 7. Not all of them.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to shoot you.
Right over.
But on the other hand, the people who hate medical marijuana are going to vote no on 6 and 7. So while our base turns into an or, their base stays an and both the initiatives lose. That's what happens when you split the fives. You took a sure winner and turned it into two sure losers.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
What can Arizona learn from Colorado? We can tightly regulate and tax the sale of marijuana. According to the Colorado State Government, marijuana use among high school students has not increased since legalization. At the same time, Colorado is generating millions in new tax dollars for public schools. Here in Arizona, we finally have a choice. We can vote yes on Prop 205 and provide $55 million to our public schools every year. Let's vote yes on Prop 205.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a great safety briefing. I'm feeling pretty safe right now. For this segment, we turn to our good friend Tom Angel out there at Marijuana.com, who I admire so much. I mean, this guy... I think that, like, I'm the guy who's sitting there waiting for the latest breaking marijuana story. Can't wait to... Tom's got me scooped every day, man. Every day. I swear, he's like Neo in the Matrix. They've got him plugged in directly to some of this stuff, because he finds stuff way before anybody else, does a great job of it, and manages to get quotes in almost all the mainstream stories that cover the major marijuana stories. So, big fan of what he's doing, and he's writing out at marijuana.com and has a column up today. Chelsea Clinton implies marijuana can kill you. Chelsea Clinton, of course, the daughter of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Interestingly enough, could become the first daughter to occupy the White House with two different presidents. That's kind of interesting, I think. But, well, not she occupy the White House. She's got her own house and stuff now, but you get my drift. Anyway, so Chelsea Clinton was appearing at Youngstown State University in Ohio, speaking to young people, millennials, trying to drum up some support for her mom's candidacy, because she is tanking with young people. People under the age of 30, can't scrape up a vote. So Chelsea's out there hitting the stump, trying to humanize and relate, make her relatable and get young people to support Hillary. So she's at Youngstown State University, appearing before a group of students, and ends up getting questions about marijuana, particularly what's Hillary Clinton's positions on marijuana reform And her point about rescheduling from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2. So Chelsea gets this question, and that's when things kind of go a little awry in her response. She says, quote, "Anecdotally, we have lots of evidence in epilepsy, but also in autism, in stimulating appetite for people who are on intensive chemotherapy regimens, for people who have non-epilepsy seizure disorders and challenges. But we also have anecdotal evidence now from Colorado, where some of the people who were taking marijuana for those purposes, the coroner believes, after they died, there was drug interactions with other things they were taking." End quote. Now, grammar's a little messed up. She didn't mean it as it came out, which was after the person died, marijuana started interacting with drugs. She's trying to say that marijuana interacted with these drugs. After the person died, the coroner did the autopsy and could find that out. I pick on these things as a writer because words are my shit. But she's trying to imply here or refer to a coroner supposedly in Colorado saying that there was a lethal drug interaction between marijuana and something else. Now, Tom reached out to the Clinton campaign trying to get some clarification on what the hell she's talking about, but hasn't gotten a response yet. Now, this has been pushed by our prohibitionist opponents. You know, they try to say, oh, you know, Levi Tamba, that Wyoming kid, he ate a marijuana cookie and jumped out the hotel balcony. That's death from marijuana. No, that's death from a sudden fall, a sudden stop at the end of a long fall is what it is. Also, what's the what's his name? Kirk was his name, or the guy in Colorado who shot his wife after eating edibles, right? And supposedly it drove him crazy and he had to kill her. Well, they're trying to push this because they want to, you know, scare us about the legalization of marijuana. But it's a stupid scare if you think about it, because it's not like legalization invents marijuana. If there were hazardous drug interactions between cannabis and other drugs, we'd have found that by now. It would have already happened. We'd have this in the medical literature. It's not as if you legalize marijuana and then suddenly the marijuana transmogrifies into something that could mess up, say, I don't know, Lipitor. I don't know. That's not the way it works, folks. We would have had those interactions already. We would have known there was a problem already. And the only drug interaction that we ever talk about on this show that has any sort of basis in fact is the interaction between marijuana and Viagra. Yeah, THC and sildenafil, if you want to use their drug names, the active ingredients there. And what they found is that cannabinoids make Viagra work more efficiently. So it's always a warning we hear from Dr. Mitch. He says, be careful on the mixing of the Viagra and the marijuana because you could end up with priapism, which is that, you know, painful erection that lasts for more than 4 hours. If your erection lasts more than 4 hours, seek medical attention, preferably naughty nurses. No, that's just a joke. That's the only interaction we know of, though. That's the only one. And even that, we don't have cases or even a single case to show that it was lethal, that was a big problem. A trip to the ER and a painful crotch, but not death, right? So this remark by Chelsea Clinton doesn't have any basis in anecdote that I know of. I don't know what anecdote she's getting, because I cover most of them that the anti-pot people try to put forth. In other concerns regarding Clinton's cannabis stance, she reiterated the states' rights stance that Hillary Clinton has mentioned a couple of times, saying, quote, she supports states making whatever choices they think are right vis-a-vis medical or recreational marijuana use, end quote. Now, Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail has said that she's, quote, 100% in favor of medical uses for marijuana, end quote. And when we heard that, a lot of us kind of gave her some credit, you know, moved her up from that letter grade C of states' rights to that letter grade B of supporting medical marijuana. But in these latest remarks from Chelsea Clinton, we might have to downgrade her back to C, because she said of the FDA approval process, quote, it's the gold standard for the world, and continued by saying, quote, we just need so much more data than we have so that people who might benefit have the chance to benefit. People who might be in danger are protected. So absolutely, my mom strongly supports the need for more rigorous study than subjecting it, as we do everything else that might have a medicinal purpose, to FDA approval, scrutiny, and ultimately regulation, end quote. So, yeah, that's a little problematic, because that's not a medical marijuana stand. That's Kevin Sabet's medical marijuana stand. Yes, yes, marijuana, it's medical. So let's put it in a lab and take all its constituent parts out of it and put them into pills that we can barcode and mark up. We'll get the FDA to approve those, and the pharmaceutical buddies can make a huge profit. Now, it's not surprising, or would not be surprising, if indeed that is Hillary Clinton's position, being that she is almost wholly bought and sold and owned by corporate interests. And certainly these big drug manufacturers would love to see Schedule II cannabis that they could perfect into all sorts of pills, sprays, and inhalers. So I wouldn't be surprised if that is indeed her position. But that's not a states' rights position. The states don't get FDA approvals. That goes through the federal government. So if that is her position, that medical marijuana can't be medical marijuana until the FDA says so, then she's not in favor of 100% in favor of medical uses for marijuana. And in Chelsea's remarks here, as she talks about, we need so much more data, I encourage you listeners to go visit PubMed.gov. PubMed.gov. Now, PubMed.gov is the federal government National Institute of Health repository database, if you will, of all the studies on medicine and drugs ever in the United States. Well, worldwide, actually, I think they cover. Go to that website, PubMed.gov. There's a little search thing right at the top. Click into that search thing and type in CANNAB, C-A-N-N-A-B. CANNAB, like cannabis without the IS, just CANNAB. Type in CANNAB and put an asterisk at the end of it. And what that does is it forces the search engine to look for everything that starts with CANNAB, whether it's cannabis, cannabinoid, cannabidiol, cannabichromium, anything that starts with CANNAB, it's going to pick up. Run that search, and you will find over 20,000 published studies on cannabis or cannabinoids. Over 20,000. We just need so much more data. How much more could you want? 20,000 published studies. Because we've got ibuprofen, we've got Adderall, we've got all sorts of drugs that have been approved by the FDA. Go to that same PubMed and type in Adderall. And watch as you only get fewer than 200 results back. 1/100th the amount of data on Adderall, an amphetamine that we give to kids. FDA approved, no problem, that's medicine. But gosh, cannabis, 20,000 studies, 7,000 years of human use with not a single recorded overdose. Dang it, we just need more data. Just need more data. We don't want people to suffer. Well, I mean, they can suffer while we wait for the FDA to get it, you know, torn apart into constituent parts and profiting for the pharmaceutical companies. We can let them suffer until then, sure. Makes me sick.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You're going to be a
great granddad.
Pretty cool.
Morgan is Ray Dawn's son. Morgan and his wife, Tracy, they've been trying to have a baby for quite some time. Did you hear what I said to Morgan?
What?
Do you know who the father is?
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 4:37 here in the Pacific Time Zone. Quick reminder for the rest of the week, we've got more previews of Marijuana Election Night 2016. That's just 6 weeks away. On tomorrow's show, we take a look at the state of Maine, where question two up there would legalize marijuana and provide Maine with the most liberal legalization law in the country. Regulate Maine's David Boyer from the campaign will be joining us. We'll talk about that, and we'll follow that up tomorrow with our interview with David Dinenberg from Kind Financial. We're going to get into seed-to-sale tracking and finances and regulatory compliance on tomorrow's show. On Thursday, Jorge Cervantes joins us for Cultivator's Corner, so get your grow questions ready for Thursday. Jorge will be joining us. And then on Friday, Marijuana Election Night preview from the state of Massachusetts. We hope to have Jim Borgesini from Regulate Massachusetts on the show to discuss how their question four is doing in the Commonwealth. I also have to make a correction from last segment because I was inaccurate, and I always strive for accuracy. I said that if you went to PubMed and you typed in cannab asterisk for a search, that you'd get over 20,000 studies. And while what I said it was true, it was not quite accurate. Because it's actually over 30,000 studies now. Over 30,000 studies on cannabis, cannabinoid, cannabidiol, anything that starts with C-A-N-N-A-B. Here's just a few. Published just this past week. Cognitive motor deficits in cannabis users. Cannabinoid receptor 1 mediates homing of bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells triggered by chronic liver injury. Cannabis for cognitive enhancement as a new coping strategy results from a survey of students at four universities in Germany. Alcohol use during a trial of N-acetylcysteine for adolescent marijuana cessation. Factors associated with having a medical marijuana card among veterans with recent substance use in VA outpatient treatment. A preliminary evaluation of synthetic cannabinoid use among adolescent cannabis users. Characteristics and treatment outcomes. Synthetic cannabinoids to avoid urine drug screens, implications for contingency management and other treatments for drug dependence. And so on. Every possible study that could be done has been done, it seems. Talking about the most niche, fringe, tiny uses of cannabis, like this, where was it? Oh, the cognitive enhancement, the cannabinoid receptors for bone marrow, for stem cells, for liver injury. Like, all right, wow, guy's messed up, but we're going to study him and see how cannabis helps him, right? 30,000 studies. How much more data do they need? Well, folks, they don't need any more data. They're stalling. They're stonewalling. They're trying to run out the clock. That's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now. They recognize that that the clock is ticking, that people recognize that cannabis is a medicine and they want it. They want it. There's a huge demand for it. And they're getting it through passing initiatives. So they've got to run out the clock because they're working on these clinical trials. We brought you the news today. GW Pharmaceuticals, Epidiolex, just passed its third phase 3 clinical trial. They're going to push for FDA approval starting in 2017. Epidiolex, this is their version of CBD only. This is their cannabidiol product. And you can bet once GW gets the FDA to approve Epidiolex as a Schedule 2 or I'm betting it'd land up on Schedule 3, right? I mean, Marinol, synthetic THC, is on Schedule 3. So a CBD product that doesn't get you high, how could that be ranked higher than one that does? But I'm expecting Schedule 3. So you get Epidiolex on Schedule 3 in late 2017, early 2018, and all those states in the South, Iowa and Wisconsin, and the Intermountain West states, Utah, Wyoming, these states that have those CBD-only laws, okay, if you go out of state and go get some of that cannabis oil for your epileptic kid and bring it back into the state, we won't bust you. Those laws, why would they need them anymore? Why wouldn't the Alabama legislature repeal that CBD-only law, since now parents can use their health insurance to go to the pharmacy to buy Epidiolex and give it to their epileptic kid? And that's not an illegal federal drug, and that's not an illegal Alabama drug. It's a perfectly legitimate drug. Why would we need a CBD-only law if you got Epidiolex? That's the direction a lot of this stuff is going. That's the direction medical marijuana has to go. It can't not go that direction. And we can't not support it going in that direction, right? What are we supposed to do, right? We're supposed to say, no, pharmaceutical companies, you may not process the cannabis plant to come up with derivatives of it. Only we can. Only we can make hash and extracts and whatever else we want to make. But your big pharmaceutical company can't take cannabis plants and derive the constituents and make pills and sprays and inhalers out of them. Because number one, I mean, those preparations might be more beneficial in some cases. There's a thread of that cynicism and distrust and paranoia that runs through the cannabis community where it frames all pharmaceuticals and artificial things and synthetic things as evil per se, right? It's not natural. It's not natural. Let's go with natural stuff. And I agree to an extent, right? You know, we should have cannabis being the medicine of first resort, not the medicine of last resort. Absolutely. I'm with you there. But that doesn't mean other medications made through pharmaceutical science aren't beneficial. Doesn't mean that they're naturally and irrevocably bad. There are people for whom the chronic pain they have cannot be alleviated solely through cannabis. They have to have opioids and powerful ones. So other drugs are not necessarily bad, and that means that other cannabinoid drugs aren't necessarily bad. I'm all for GW making their sprays and their pills and their inhalers and their tinctures and whatever else they come up with. Enemas, I don't know, suppositories. Go for it. Just so long as I can still smoke the herb. That's all. Right? If we got home grow, if we can have the herb, then they can do whatever the hell else they want with it. Marlboro can mass manufacture swaggy cigarettes if they want, swaggy joints. GW can make Epidiolex and Sativex and whatever hell else they want. I'm not using them. I'm not buying them. But I don't want to deny someone who might want to use them, might want to buy them, might get some benefit out of them. So long as I still have my needs taken care of, so long as I'm still getting the herbal medication that I want. That's why we may be approaching a crossroads here that we have to decide, and we have to draw a line in the sand as to what is our deal breaker for the support of legalization. And this is a line that, you know, I think naturally has to move a little bit, right? Because before any state had legalized, there's a desperate need to get a score on the scoreboard, right? To get the goose egg off the scoreboard, right? To break the shutout. So Washington I-502, for example, the shittiest legalization we've yet passed, no home grow and a per se DUID, is still better than the prospect of no legalization and striking out and delaying, once again, that first establishment of a beachhead in legalization. But now, would we support I-502? Or even better, after 2016 election, and presuming all five of those states win, let's presume all five of the legal states win and all five of them have home grow to some extent. Nevada's got that halo. You can't grow within 25 miles of a pot shop, but they all have home grow to some extent, right? So in the wake of every state in the past three elections passing legalization with home grow, with the exception of Washington, in that context, we may be at a spot where we can say no home grow, no legalization. We might be at that spot. We might be at the spot where we can say no home, you know, if it's an I-502 again, that it is not acceptable, that we cannot support it anymore without home grow. I don't know that we're there yet. And I don't know that after 2016 we'll be there yet, but it's something to think about. What we expect from our legalization may become a more expansive list as we gain more and more victories. Because what we don't want to see happen is the opposite trajectory, like what we saw with medical, what we've seen with medical marijuana, where we start with states that are very open and liberal and let you home grow a whole lot of plants and there's dispensaries and yippee, it's all great. And as that evolved, election after election, year after year, it became more and more restrictive condition lists, fewer home grow plants, no home grow plants, smaller personal possession, no plant at all. You've got to get an oil or a tincture. You can't smoke anything, right? It's gotten more and more restrictive. It's marched into a box canyon as 20 years have passed. We don't want that same trajectory for legalization. Now, to be fair, the medical trajectory, a lot of that's based on the fact the first states are initiative states. So you can go for more. The latter states are legislative states. You have to compromise. No doubt about that. But do we want to see that same sort of legislative compromise when Texas starts getting around to legalizing, or Missouri or Wisconsin? Or should we set the precedent that we started with Washington and Colorado, a bad and a limited legalization system, followed it up with Oregon and Alaska that opened it up a little bit more, followed that up with California, Massachusetts, Maine, Arizona, and Nevada that vastly opened up legalization more. Let's set that precedent where every election, the legalization gets better. So that when it does get to the legislative states that do have to make more compromises, we don't have to compromise so far back. We don't have to lose so many steps or lose so much progress, and we can still keep pushing that legalization to become more and more liberalized. I also think that we may benefit in legalization not heading down that more restrictive path because there's no reason for it to. With medical, as it continued to evolve, there was a pressure to make sure that the potheads weren't crossing the line into the patients. We got to keep the patients and the potheads separate. And that pressure, I believe, was a large part of the reason why these laws got more restrictive, because too many potheads were getting over the line in California and Washington. And so the next successive state said, we're not going to be like California, and ratcheted down the restrictions. Legalization won't suffer from that problem because we're not trying to artificially divide who the cannabis consumers are that are legal.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
Raising money for our schools isn't the only reason to regulate and tax marijuana, but it's a good reason. Being a mother of a special needs child, I know that there's financial deficiencies in our school.
Schools need every dollar they can get.
Regulating and taxing marijuana would generate tens of millions of dollars for Arizona schools. I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother,
and I'm a public school teacher.
And I'm voting yes on Prop 205. It's time to regulate and tax marijuana like alcohol in Arizona.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just closing up shop here. And, I'm just so thrilled about marijuana election night coming up. It's going to be very exciting. We're looking at interfacing with numerous local affiliates that are going to tap into our feed. And I'll be reporting for their audiences the votes on marijuana legalization. It's going to be pretty exciting. So check us out. MJ election night is happening November 8th. That's Tuesday. That's 6 weeks away. Starting at my regular showtime, 3 p.m. Pacific, and running all the way to 9 p.m. Pacific or midnight Eastern. We're going to cover it all, wall to wall, every marijuana vote. And I believe we're going to do really good. Polls in California are 60%. In Maine and Nevada, we've got 53%. And in Massachusetts and Arizona, we've got 50%. So we're looking good there. Florida medical marijuana. Last poll I saw, 73%, I think it was. They need 60. 73% sounds pretty good. We don't have polling out of North Dakota or Montana that's within the past even year or two to report on. But we do have that terrible poll out of Arkansas. And I was talking about this earlier in the splitting the fives rant, where 25% of the six supporters are voting no on seven, but only 8% of the seven supporters are voting no on six. And I think what has happened here is a dynamic that you see on the game show The Price is Right. You know, when you watch The Price is Right and they got the four people in the bidder row there and they got some prize they're bidding on, and one person, they have $400 and $600 and $800, right? And the fourth guy recognizes that all three of those people bid way too much. It's like, that thing's not that expensive, right? But the rules of Price is Right is closest without going over, right? So to be safe, you don't say 350 or 300 or 200, because you still might be too high. To guarantee that you're going to win that that showdown, you bet a dollar, right? That way, anything that's between a dollar and $400, the next highest bid, well, if it's in that range, you win, right? So you always see that, these people betting a dollar because they know they can undercut the other bidders and win the prize. That's what's happened to Arkansas. See, in Arkansas, David Couch made the bet that Melissa Fultz and the Issue 7 people pushing, and again, I support Issue 7. I it's a better initiative, and Normal has endorsed it. It's better, right? But it's this case of, do we write what's good or do we write what will pass? And I think the 7 campaign ended up in the situation of relying too much on what would be a good initiative. Let's have some home grow. Let's put as many conditions in it as possible. And so Couch looked at that and said, ah, they've overbid. They've overbid with the public. And I'm going to bet a dollar. And so he comes forth with a more conservative initiative that has no home grow, dispensary only, and fewer qualifying conditions, betting that the other campaign overbid, put out something too progressive for the voters to accept, and that what they will accept is in that range below Issue 7 in expansiveness. And it looks like he was right, because the polls are coming out saying there's a 49-47 support for the conservative initiative, 53-39 opposition to the more liberal initiative. He underbid him. And it looks like he was right. And this throws a whole complicated mess, a monkey wrench into the situation in Arkansas, because at first the 7 campaign could justifiably complain that, hey, we made the ballot first. Once we made the ballot, you should have dropped out so we don't split the vote. And especially after Rob Campia said there was $1 million for us, by staying in, you cost us $1 million. You may have hurt the patients, since we won't be able to pass 7. But now, with the polls showing up the way they are, Couch can respond and say, no, because had I not gone forward, all that would be on the ballot is Issue 7 that only gets 39% support from the voters. Had I not continued, had I not fought MPP and rejected the $1 million bribe, then the initiative that I've got that's on the ballot that's actually getting plurality support that Arkansas might actually pass wouldn't have been on the ballot. So who would have been hurting patients then? Both of these sides can make an argument that they've done what's right for the patients, and both of them could be right. That's all the time we got for today, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.